Welcome once again. It is another edition of No Filter Sports, the podcast that is growing and growing. And isn't it amazing? I'm Eli Zarrett, by the way, Bob Page and Denny McClain. We get to do sports. We make a little money at it. This is great. This is what we had dreamed for when we were 20 years old.
My first year in this industry was 1974.
Me too.
And we came up as kids together. We've been friends for 45 years. So Tim Stout at Channel 6 in Lansing wants to hire me. I'm hustling this job because, and I know you remember this, and you older listeners do too, Herb Washington, signed by Charlie Finley in the Oakland A's, is the first designated pinch runner in the history of baseball. He had been, I won't call him a reporter because Herb is a great guy, but he wasn't that good a reporter. He was a mic stand at Channel 6. He leaves. Man, I'm hustling the job. I'm already working at Michigan State Sports Information. I go meet with Tim Stout. I'm like 22 years old. And Stout tells me the details of the job, and I said, wait a minute, you're telling me that I come into the station, you give me a camera guy, I go down to Detroit in the company van, I get into the Tigers game for free, I go on the field before the game and ask the Tigers any questions I want, then I go sit up in the press box, eat free hot dogs, drink free pop. Then if I've gotten more questions, I go into the locker room. Then I do more interviews, I come back here, I go on television, I play my interviews, and I tell everybody what I thought of the Tigers game.
And they want to listen.
How much I got to pay? How much do I have to pay to
forget
do this
everything?
Job?
But you forget everything, but the pregame meal that you and then
oh,
you
oh, yeah, the free
get the hot dogs
meal.
Later.
How much was there a cost for the pregame
no,
meal?
No, never.
Of course not.
And you know what happened
now,
with that?
Now there is.
You know what happened with that, Danny? Right. The late unlamented Marge Schott got so pissed off at the media coverage of her, which was truthful, when she owned the Cincinnati Reds, that she started charging reporters. Never in history would they charge us, and now they charge us. And it's not cheap either.
Everybody follows everything. Remember the Pistons were Pat Riley was the first one in the NBA that put his players in fancy hotels. So now everybody else everybody else got to go to the fourth. Then the Pistons bought a plane. Everybody else had to buy a plane.
Yeah.
So if you start charging for lunch, they're all going to charge for lunch. Anyway, I don't know how
you know what? And the Tiger stuff wasn't that way. I mean, we were – the first year I was in the big leagues, we flew a DC-6. You know, that was the last DC-6 that United Airlines had. So we flew that for a year. But after that, we were on the Caravelle jets and 37.
Yeah, you didn't own your own plane. It was kind of a charter thing. Anyway, we have gotten off track – once
you
again,
can't get off track. We're talking about the success of the show, and we're telling great old-time stories.
You started it.
Yeah, you did start it, damn it.
Well, there wasn't a track, so I guess we couldn't get off the track. But the track is this. The track is this that, you know, and I don't want to say that there's something's fundamentally wrong with baseball, even though there is, because this whole rebuilding and teams dumping, and the Tigers aren't the only one after trading Nick Castellanos and Shane Green yesterday, because the Toronto Blue Jays got rid of a great young pitcher in Marcus Stroman. But they did it, and I was surprised to hear that people were excited to see what Al Avila was going to do. I was listening to the big booming sports station here in Detroit, and they're like hoping that Al Avila has a big day. I'm thinking, don't we want to keep these guys? Do we really want to get rid of them? Do we want a couple of non-entity prospects for guys that can actually play? So maybe that's what fans really want. But Nick Castellanos, let's just say what happened in case you don't know. He was traded to the Cubs for two young pitchers. Let me find them here. Paul Richon and Alex Lang, two guys who really have proven zero so far.
Yes.
They're both Class A pitchers.
Class
A plus. So
the other trade brings back at least some guy named Travis DeMeritt from the Braves, who's having a really good year in AAA, and they're going to start him, I think, Friday night against Texas.
Yeah. And the other guy is Joey Wentz.
Joey Wentz.
That's the guys that came from the Braves.
Yeah. In fact, they did better for Green because there really wasn't a big market for Castellanos. He's a good hitter, not a great hitter, and he's defensively challenged, and this is what they got. And the reason they were willing to take two Class A pitchers who really hadn't done anything is because Nick was going to be expensive starting next year. So,
Eli is going to be a free agent. So the Cubs just rented him essentially for, a month or 2 months.
First of all, the guy's got to be the most excited guy in the world to be with a contender. That's number one. He's pleased. He's happy. He's jumping up and down. He's talking about how happy he is to be going with a contender and then says, oh, I'm going to miss those guys in Detroit. He'll miss the guys in Detroit like an infected pimple on an ass.
Let's hear what he had to say along those lines. Here's Nick Castellanos talking to a gaggle of reporters yesterday.
Well, first off, I'm very excited to be able to go to Chicago and help this team in a pennant race in any way that I can. you know, but I also know that, you know, when all the excitement and everything slows down, you know, I'm going to miss everything that was in Detroit. You know, I've been for 9 years. Anything that I know besides high school baseball is Detroit Tigers. So,
you really think he sounds excited? I do.
Well, here's what I think.
His own way.
Of course, he's excited.
Apparently, you guys did not watch the Tigers game from Anaheim on Wednesday. I did. And so Trevor goes into the locker room and does a really lengthy interview with Nick. And I thought to myself,
Trevor Thompson, you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Is he running for political office? Everything he said was so measured. And
who are you talking about?
Nick Castellanos. Is he running for political office?
I'm going to tell you what he's running for.
Well, hang on a second. And then they get to the interview and he's saying all the right things and perfect sound. Bites. And Trevor Thompson closes the interview by saying, okay, congratulations, Nick. Which he did not mean to say, obviously, but it was congratulations on getting the hell out of here.
Good for him. Good
this
for
is
him.
What he's hoping for. If he has a good last two months, approximately 2 months, and they get into the playoffs and they go a little bit deep, all right, and he's got some responsibility for it, let me tell you, the Cubs are going to come at him with the money. They're going to come
I
real
think
money.
So. Yeah.
And I'll tell you something I'm impressed with, and I ran into somebody the other day that tells me he really has been working very hard on his defense.
I've been telling you that.
Sure.
Well, I guess it's just started in the last 30 days because of all the conversation.
Right.
He wanted to prove to the Cubs that he will bust his ass to get things done and it get better and better and better. So this is the break of a lifetime for him.
Yep.
And he's looking at $100
But, Danny, you got to remember this. You are still talking about a designated hitter.
No.
Well, you basically are. So I would think an American League team is going to sign
him. I would think much more likely.
I'm telling you, if the Cubs want him and if he makes some improvement where
I agree.
He has been.
Yeah. They can hide him in the field to a degree.
Absolutely. And they don't hit left-handers, and Nick does, which is why they wanted him so bad.
That's the reason why they want him in Wrigley Field. He can hit a home run there anywhere.
These last 2 months are very, very important to him. And I think one argument he can make is that his numbers – offensively, are a little depressed because of the team he's on, the lack of opportunity, the lack of players around him. So if he picks it up and hits like 300 the rest of the way with some power, that could be worth millions and millions of dollars to him.
Who are the two hitters, the two big guys with the Cubs, the first baseman and the second baseman? What are their names?
Oh, God, who's the first?
You know who I mean. Yeah.
Rizzo.
And Bryant.
Chris Bryant, the third baseman.
If he gets the hit in front of either one of those guys, he'll hit 300. Mm-hmm.
They've also got what's his name?
Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. You know, so they can hit.
So what's interesting, I was thinking about it last night kind of philosophically, you know, the illusion that a player is ours I guess has never been real. It was in your day because Al Kaline wasn't going anywhere. Unless they traded you, you weren't going anywhere either.
Right.
They owned you. So we still like the illusion that this is our guy. We raised him. He came through the minor league system and all that. But I guess we're well past that. But here's with the prospects, and we're going to hear from Al Avila in a second on the prospects that he got. What's interesting to me, if let's go back to 2014, okay? In 2014, Nick is going to be a rookie. And they're excited that Nick Castellanos, this first round pick, is going to hopefully emerge as a star. At the same time, they picked off the scrap heap, a 20th round draft pick named J.D. Martinez, 27 years old. You know, he had virtually no power. He had 900 at bats. He hit just 24 home runs. And so at that point, what would you have said? Nick Castellanos has the future, and JD is not going to last year. So this is why it's so difficult in baseball to see who's going to do
well,
what.
Well, come on, in all four sports, it's
not
just baseball.
No.
I think it's more difficult.
In basketball, of the 30 guys in the first round, the top 15 are all supposed to be starters, and most do. You never know that.
Yeah, but then you got undrafted guys.
You get Dennis Rodmans.
You get Scottie Pippen.
Come on. Okay.
It's the same thing.
Bull. You're going to say that the same chance for success in a baseball draft as an NBA draft? You're kidding.
We have a lot more baseball players. But I think it's easier to analyze baseball players because the game is slow. Right fielder gets a ball hit.
You can't evaluate.
I'm telling you, pal, I was out looking at the top junior players in the world in Plymouth, Michigan. The hockey is up and down the ice. They're changing.
A guy out of a college football player picked in the first round, they pretty much know what he can do with few exceptions. In baseball, after the top one or two, and look at how many first-round draft
That's
picks
true.
Have been blown. And so what, come on, let's not even waste time on that argument.
And we won't waste any more time other than this question for you. What do you think is the biggest difference between AAA and the major leagues?
Well, I think it's a bigger, better players at the major league level.
Faster. The game is just faster. Sure. That much faster. Right. That's what makes a major leaguer not
all
a AAA
sports.
Player.
The game's much
all
faster.
All sports, exactly. So think about that before you open up that New York stylish.
Ridiculous. This has nothing to do with New York. I'm telling you guys, it's hard in all four sports to pick people and know what they're going to do.
Yes, Bob, but baseball's different, so that's it. Totally. Okay, enough. Now,
and for instance, if you don't think that's different, then talk about Porcello.
No, well, wait a second. Just what's interesting because you mentioned New York. When I went to work there, I realized.
Wait a second, before you finish this, this is the first time you and I have ever mentioned New York first.
but the point I want to make was, so they make a trade, or so I can't remember what it was, and I start talking about the guys that, just like we're talking about Nick, I'm talking about the guys that we're going to miss, thinking they're going to miss him, and everybody says in New York, "Shut up, he's gone. We don't get once he's out of town. Don't even talk about it anymore. Who are we getting? We haven't said a word about the guys that we're getting. Maybe because we don't know much about him. But anyway, let's give the names, and then we're going to let Al Avila speak. So it's
we just gave the names.
Well, Joey,
we gave all four. Okay, it was Rishon and Lang.
Wentz and Demerit from Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. Here's what Al Avila had to say about the four prospects.
We're very happy with the guys, obviously, that we acquired from the Braves. Joey Wentz, left-handed pitcher. You know, he's a high draft pick. We expect him to go right into the rotation in Erie. Travis Demerit, 20 home runs in AAA. Take him straight to Detroit. We feel that he's ready to go out there and start his career at the major league level. With the Cubs, we got Paul Rashawn. He's going to start in Lakeland, a guy that we feel that has a four-pitch mix of pitches. Alex Land with a former also first rounder. He's one guy that we're going to send to AA right now.
See, but the difference is you got two real minor leaguers and two potential suspects. So the guys that came from Atlanta are better players than
AAA,
the other two kids. And the one kid went signed in 2016 and got a $3 million bonus. And here's the best part about him. He's left-handed.
Mm.
If he can throw strikes, guess what happens?
No,
he
these
wins.
Days, Danny, if you can lift your left arm above your head, you've got a job in Major League Baseball as a situational left-hander. I saw Avila on the, again, on the Tigers-Angels broadcast. So much gobbledygook nonsense. What a bunch of PR baloney. Although some of these kids might be good. We don't know. But I'll tell you this. I swear to you, and I just saw Al in spring training this year in Florida. He looked like one of those pictures of the before and after presidents of the United States. He looked terrible last night. Avila. He's under so much pressure. I mean, he just looked like he's worn out and shot. And he's a nice man, and I was very concerned.
I don't
know
why he's so much under pressure, for God's sakes. They let him do whatever he wants to do.
Because people like us are giving it to him.
And he's got minor leagues. And by the way, Wentz. He's
a contract extension, by the way. And Chris Illich likes what he's doing.
Yes, he does. And Wentz, by the way, was hurt. That's one of the reasons why he hasn't been more available to anybody else. He's been injury-free now in 20 appearances this year for the first year. He's got a 4.72 ERA. And 103 innings, all he's pitched all year long. So that doesn't even tell you much other than he's left-handed.
He's got 100 strikeouts, 103,
I want to ask you, Denny, as a former great player, about the difference between pitching for the Cubs.
I love it when you call me great.
Right, well, like you weren't. Yeah, like okay. You weren't. Anyway.
It's just said he likes it. That's all he likes it.
I remember
would you call me great, please?
You like zeros?
I love it.
Look, you want me to do something else here?
No, we're so
I've been
pleased.
Bobbying for him to get into the Michigan Sport, the bogus Michigan Sports Hall of Fame for 100 years.
Bob. We're just pleased. We haven't announced that you're in the studio today.
That's right. You're here with us today.
We're excited that you're here.
So, Brandon, our producer, I'm driving in my car. I'm about 5 minutes from Drew's house here where the studios are. My phone goes off, and I'm not going to look at it now. I got to wait a little bit. So I wait. I got Brandon sent me a text saying, I'm ready to connect when you are. So I walk in the door. I see him. I said, son, how's this for a connection?
You want
to
talk?
No.
Anyway, finish your story.
I was getting to a point here.
Okay.
One of the guys Denny was traded for was, of course, Joe Coleman, who was a tremendous pitcher for the Tigers for a few years. And I had a really good relationship with Joe.
I was traded for him.
Yes, just what I said.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
So at any rate, so now Joe is going to go to Chicago. I eventually wound up with the Cubs for half a year.
Right.
And I asked him, he says, you know what my problem is? I hate playing day baseball.
Mm.
Is there that big a difference, other than the obvious light or lack of light, is there that big a difference between
Dave? I hated it, too. I hated it.
Because Nick's going to play a lot of day baseball.
You know, we play you play in, late into the night. We started games at 8 o'clock back then, which big difference an hour. And we didn't get out of the ballpark till 11:30 every night we played. And going into that day game, following 3 or 4 days in a row of a night game, I don't know, it's vision or what have you, but there is a significant difference. The only time I really liked to play during the day is when it was cold and windy and the wind was in my face. You would think if the wind is at my back, I would love it. But the wind at my back straightened out my fastball, and the wind in my face allowed my fastball to rise the way it was supposed to. So that's the reason. It's the only reason I would like a day game. But because when it got hot, it was no fun to play.
I think more so, and I learned this when I traveled in the NBA for years, man, it's a tough lifestyle. Working at night, whether you're on television or baseball, is tough. And
for
then
everybody.
To have to change it. Then to have to, you know, suddenly change the whole day around. Be
so anyway, you ready? One more thing.
But you know what? It's a wonderful life.
I got one more thing on this subject. Okay? There's a player who has the nickname in baseball, the Sun King. I'd never heard it before until Gary Cohen on a Mets broadcast last week talked about it.
Second New York reference. Go ahead.
Jacob DeGrom. He is 23-11. 1.90 in day games, but only 37-37 at night in his career. And Gary Cohen says that Jacob DeGrom of the Mets is, quote, the greatest daytime pitcher in the history of baseball.
My God, we come up with more titles.
Come on.
Go figure.
Cy Young pitched only in day games, as did Walter Johnson.
By the way, none of those guys won awards for only winning 10 games in 1 year.
That's right.
That's the one I will never, ever get over.
I know.
I think Dizzy Dean was a
10 damn games, and he gets the Cy Young Award.
Yeah, but
impossible.
But Walter Johnson, those guys might have gotten killed at night. You don't know.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, by the way, in about a minute from now, you're going to get to hear Danny McLean's first read on a Yaldo spot. And this is going to be, this is like watching your kid when he's just learning how to walk, and you're worried he's going to bump his head against the.
And that's an alert to get to again Brandon McAfee, our producer, to get his razor blade out and start getting ready to be hacking six or seven times.
It.
Cut it up and edit it.
Let me get David
Hall in
for
it.
No, before you butcher Yaldo, let me give a word about David Hall and Hall Financial.
Hall is mine too.
If you're thinking about refinancing your home, Hall Financial would love to save you money. You can email David directly. That's right. Talk to David himself, the guy you see on TV all the time, at dhall@hallfg.com, or call Hall Financial at 248-308-5000. Maybe it's your first home or your dream home. Maybe you want to take some money out of your home. Give David a chance to get lower rates, better options, and more personal attention. Industry average for a refi, 44 days. Hall averages, Denny?
Forever.
No. 19 days. Jesus, I can't believe it.
He's not paying attention to what you're saying.
He's just desperately trying to get this read right so he can do it again. Take it from the customers. They have over 700 five-star reviews. Denny raised to 800, 900. It's really close to 800 five-star reviews, and there's no better testimony for customer service than to get a five-star review. They'll fight for you even if you have a dent
or a car accident.
Email dhall@hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. Tell them No Filter sent you. And now buckle up, everybody. Here it comes. Go ahead.
You talk about pressure on Al Avila. Here's the pressure now.
I hope my friend Dr. Yaldo was not listening. Hey, Dave, how about a word about Dr. Yaldo?
Hey, how about Dr. Yaldo? By the way, I still haven't got my appointment. 20 years ago, since its inception, Michigan's most experienced ophthalmologist, Dr. Yaldo, began performing LASIK surgery. Now, in the year 2019, he has 30,000 satisfied
patients. He's doing pretty well. He's doing okay.
Except for 2,000 instead of 2019, but go
so
ahead.
So what? The majority of whom actually got better than 20/20 vision. Just as importantly, they all got to throw away their glasses, their contacts, those old, poor performing technologies that cause distortion and can't nearly match LASIK's precision. Corrective eye surgery is about the quality of life, Eli, and has been determined to be the safest surgery in all of medicine. Some 600,000 Americans get it every year. 600,000!
A lot of people.
I didn't hear that. How many?
600,000! Twice 300,000.
And now he's pounding the table, and so is Eli.
Skip a little bit.
I will. Dr. Yaldo has also performed over 20,000 multifocal lens exchange procedures. That also eliminates the reading glasses for those 45 and over. That's BS, because I don't have any. And over to go along with 2020 or better fire vision. Listen, we've lost track, but close to 100 of our Red Shovel listeners mm-hmm. have gotten one of these surgeries, and we're still waiting for our first complaint. We've never had a complaint. They take just a few minutes, are painless, and you'll get to throw all those contacts, glasses, and readers in the garbage.
Go to the
number. So easy, folks. Just call Dr. Yeldo for a free evaluation. It's free, free, free.
Go to the number.
Call. Go to the number. Call 1-800-398-EYES. Call 1-800-398-EYES. 1-800-398-EYES. Or go to YeldoEyeCenter.com.
Much better than we expected.
Jesus.
Tell them no filter sports.
I warn you, Brandon.
Bob, Brandon, and Eli has sent you, because if you tell them that, you get a $1,500 discount.
And you are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast.
Yes, you are.
Okay, back to baseball. Are we done with the Tigers?
No, we're not. I want to say this about the Tigers. I want to say again, and maybe you didn't see this. Last Monday, Cincinnati scored 10 runs in the second inning, and the Reds beat the Pirates 11-6. That was capped by a grand slam home run by Jose Iglesias.
Oh.
He's having a great year for the Reds. And the other day, I was watching another one of these Tigers games against the Angels, and there was a pop-up. It was a tough play. Yeah. It was a pop-up right over Harold Castro in the shortstop area. They were in a shift. Castro went back, and of course, he didn't catch it. Jose Iglesias is the greatest shortstop I've ever seen on pop flies. That would have been so in his back pocket. Why didn't they try to re-sign him? But
he was a free agent. And even though he didn't get any other offers, they feared to keep him. Would have been $6 million a year. They got
$6 million a year.
I know. You're right.
He's liable to be out of baseball any moment.
Who?
He's got bad legs. He's got real bad legs. And that's one of the other reasons that nobody wanted to take a long-term deal with him.
No, I could see that.
Now,
I could see that.
Before we dump out of here, the Astros.
Well, that's the big story,
Tigers.
That's the big story.
Well, except we're not in Houston. But the Astros got 35-year-old Zach Greinke from the D-backs in a coup. They did get four prospects. They're supposed to be very good. They get Greinke and $24 million to come with him from the D-backs. The Astros due to pay part of the $70 million he's owed over the next couple of years on his $200 million contract. Imagine. Oh, by the way, of all the pitchers in history, you know where they say that most similar to? The closest he's to is Justin Verlander. He's got 197 and 122, six All-Stars, a Cy Young, 3.36. So they got Verlander, Greinke, Garrett Cole, Wade Miley, Brad Peacock. Nothing is stopping the Astros.
I agree with you. But here's the ironic thing about this. You mentioned all those great pitchers, but the guy he reminds me of, who didn't break 90 miles an hour, was a nibbler with amazing control and one of the greatest pitchers I ever saw, Greg Maddux. That's who Greinke reminds me of.
What is today, the greatest day in your life of everybody
being
you're
with you?
About?
Being with you is great. Just being honored to be in the same studio with
you. He thinks if you call other people great, it diminishes the great that you said.
I guess so. And I want to mention one more thing, too, because we should have mentioned it in the last show, and we didn't. I was shocked when the Mets got Marcus Stroman, who's a great young pitcher,
good pitcher
from Toronto. I thought the Mets were going to be sellers. They were talking about Noah Syndergaard, heaven forbid, being traded away. They decided, six games out of the wild card spot, that instead they're going for it. And that's what Avila could have done before he got rid of JV and JD and everybody else. Yep.
Well,
it's a big you give them away and you hope. That's where the Tigers are going to give away all the good players, and we're going to hope. And so far, they got Lugo, Candelario, this Jake Rogers came up, looks like he may be good, but who knows about any of them.
Now, one other thing that people should need to know, because they made such a big deal out of this, that no trades can be made after the 31st of July. It's BS. It's a total gunk, because they can still do a waivers deal and get somebody. If they can ask the other clubs to bypass them, they can still do a deal. The difference is the team that gets the first choice is the worst team in the other league. That's how they do the draft now.
Yeah.
And next year, they're going to take the league. And instead of being able to expand your lineups to 40 players in September, you'll only be able to add one player. So I don't know what that's going to do to the overall of the game, but it's going to be a lot of minor leaguers right on the edge that aren't going to get a chance to show their prowess.
Danny, I got one for you. You made a somewhat cryptic comment at the top of the program referring to Porcello, of course, the former Tiger Rick Porcello.
Right.
For those who don't know this, he allowed six runs on nine hits in 5 2/3 and was yanked from a game against the Tampa Bay Rays on Wednesday night.
He
proceeded to smash two TV monitors in the dugout as he headed to the locker room. Now, we take that. We take Trevor Bauer's heave. Denny, I wanted to ask you.
I want to say, by the way, he smashed the TVs after the first inning, came back and pitched after that.
He gave
two dingers in the second inning, including threw a homer. Yeah. So he broke the TVs, went out to pitch, and got shelled even more. So he didn't get rid of all the frustration.
That's not the game he won, 9-8 or 9-7.
No, he lost that one. Okay. By the way, he's got a 9.73 ERA and a 1.85 WHIP in his last seven starts. He's 4-2 in that stretch.
Got a good ball club.
How meaningless a stat wins is.
Listen, if he doesn't get all the runs he got last year he won the Cy Young, right?
2 years ago.
If he does, he was averaging seven runs a game.
I know.
That's the only reason he got the Cy Young.
He's a little more than an average pitcher. But what I wanted to get to you about this is with the Porcello thing and Trevor Bauer's heave over the center field wall the other day.
Yeah.
Two things. A, the worst snap you ever staged, they call them snaps in baseball, and the worst one, of course, that I remember so well is when Kaline totally snapped. He was so pissed at striking out, he broke his hand on a bat rack, and that was in 67.
He shoved the bat into
the
rack.
That was, yeah, and that cost you the pennant that year, I think.
You'll never know. I mean, I was out for 40 days in August and September, and I couldn't pitch. Imagine I can win one game. I'd already won 17. I mean, it stands the reason we win more game. But, yeah, Kaline, he was the biggest loss we could ever have with that ball club. Al Kaline was the epitome of a major league player. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, who would argue?
Who's going to argue?
I don't think anybody would. But you know what? The worst snap, as Bob said, is the Joe Sparma snap. Now, there used to be a time when you got taken out of a ball game.
Sparma was a pitcher with Denny in the 68 team, fifth
pitcher,
starter. Okay.
Great guy, terrific guy, funny guy.
Even though he went to Ohio State and played football for him.
Well, nobody's perfect, Bob. And by the way, when he played football with Ohio State as a quarterback, Woody never let him throw a pass because Woody said, "You have no idea how far it's going." And he does. Yeah. He really didn't. And
I saw Sparma play at Ohio State.
Michigan State.
He didn't play that much.
Joe said he never threw a pass.
Yeah.
All he did was hand the ball off to the three back or the four back and say, "Here, go like hell."
But what did he do then?
So this is what he did. He gets taken out of the game in the second or third inning. And as you, Eli, and I think both of you have been down the runway there, the old Tiger Stadium, and they got all these lights
going. About a million times. But
bare lights. They're just bare lights.
Just bare bulbs.
They went to your boy Jim Campbell and said, "We want to spend $6 each on covers for the lights."
No way.
And the players wind up paying for the bulbs anyway. Anyway, he goes all the way down the center, gets up into the clubhouse, and we don't know any of this is going on. We can hear all the bulbs breaking as he's walking up to the clubhouse. By the time we got into and this is like the fourth, fifth inning, a couple of us went up there to see what the hell damage he had done because we thought he was done. He was up there taking we had the steel stools, right? Oh. They're only about 18 inches off the floor. He had taken a stool, more than one, and thrown them all over the clubhouse, broken about four or five. And when Earl Wilson found out who it was, Wilson was going to kill him. I mean, Wilson said, you broke my suit, and where are my grapes?
What?
Joe, he got mad because Joe took his grapes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Don Cherry for a moment, eh?
And let me tell you something. We thought he was going to kill Joe. And Joe kept telling him, come on, man, I'll take you. Come on, man, bring it on.
My money's on Earl Wilson.
I'm telling you, especially with that bat.
Answer my question. What was your greatest snap?
Oh, I know what it was. I got taken out of a ball game, and I'll tell you how bad my control was this day. I couldn't throw a strike anywhere near the plate, and so they take me out of the ball game. I'm walking back to the dugout, and I throw my glove, trying to throw it down into the dugout. I missed the dugout by about 5 feet. My glove wound up about 25 feet beyond the dugout.
I saw Dick Raddatz do that at Tiger Stadium, too, with Boston.
He threw it in the stands?
He was so pissed off. He's thrown his glove into the dugout. It went eight rows up in the stands behind the first base line, and some kid grabs it and just boogies right out the exit. Yeah, you did that, too, then.
Yeah, right? I did it, too. I gave the guy, and I had just got three or four new gloves in from Wilson. I took one of the Wilson gloves, give it to the guy, and the guy come back, his father come back, he says, "Can't you give him a ball too?"
Let's get to football, okay?
I got a lot more baseball. We'll do it later in the show.
How about a little Matthew Boyd? He's got to be upset today.
Go ahead.
I mean, he's the best pitcher we have in a ball club, and I just can't imagine him still being here. If you're going to rebuild this club, you need to get rid of the best player on the team right now. He was it.
I don't agree. You're trying to develop pitchers
like Matt
Boyd.
Talking about a left-handed pitcher who throws
strikes. I want to
keep
strikes. Him. I'm
There's
keeping
nothing
him.
Better than a left-handed.
But Danny, depends. Of course not. But what, he couldn't get back what he wanted for him. He shouldn't just.
You can't. But if you can't use this guy to go out there and get three or four players, you're a lousy general manager.
Well, but maybe. Maybe he can in the off season when there's more going on. So
we'll
he keeps
see.
Boyd the rest of the year, the next 2 months. Maybe he even increases his value, and he can trade him in the off season.
The Tigers
so
developed Nick Castellanos. That's what you're trying to do in a rebuild. They've developed Matt Boyd. You don't trade
Matt's
guys like that.
Castellanos' time has come and gone here, so let's not refer
they
didn't
to treat
him
anymore.
Well. They didn't treat him well. They didn't treat him with the respect he deserved, especially after he proved that he was going to work as hard as. Listen, I've told this story once before. I was in Erie the same time Kaline was working him out in the outfield when Kaline came up to me and says, don't stand around him,
yeah,
for God's sakes. The ball's going to hit either you or him in the head. I mean, that's how bad of an outfielder he was. And they tried to put him back to third base. That didn't work. And then they finally threw him in the outfield to try to hide him. Because Eli's right. You can hide guys for a while.
As long as they can throw a little bit.
Yeah. Let me do another baseball story real quick.
Go ahead.
This did not get a lot of publicity. So Derek Jeter, obviously, is going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
that'll
yeah.
be a year
oh,
from
I
now.
I love this.
And he'll probably join Mariano as the second, you know, complete 100% choice of all the sports writers.
Before you finish this story, and we'll listen very intently.
Of course.
But the bottom line, wait till you hear what they're planning next year in Cooperstown.
Okay, but wait till you hear what two guys you know very well are planning. That would be the Hawk. Andre Dawson, and that would be Tony Perez, both members of the Hall of Fame, even if they are not actually Hall of Fame members. They ain't going. They said, Dawson says, I sincerely doubt I will attend at this point. I can't speak for Tony, but I don't have a sense or feeling that I want to sit on that same stage to hear what Jeter has to say. These guys are institutions in South Florida with the Marlins.
Tell them what
Jeter
happened.
Comes in and gets rid of both of them.
Tell them what happened.
He got rid of both of them and had somebody else tell them. Then when there was a fan backlash, they tried to hire him again. At a low price they wouldn't take, and Perez says even that was BS because he was only forced to hire us back and gave us a number that we couldn't accept. So
Jeter asked the owner to fire the two guys. The owner.
Okay, yeah. All right. He didn't do it himself.
Right.
What a mess
he didn't
that
even have the guts to do it himself.
What
I
a
can't
mess
believe.
That franchise is, by the way.
Boy, I'll tell you. You know, on top of that, it's just in a bad place. Yeah.
And in terms of Matt being pissed off about having to stay here, this is a great baseball town.
The best.
It is a rabid following that the Detroit Tigers have.
The best.
Detroit is a terrific place to live during baseball season, not the other 5 months. So I think that Matt probably is in a sense very happy still here, and they could be a lot better next year.
How are they going to be better?
They got all these kids they're bringing up. I don't know. Maybe, you know, some of these pitchers we're hearing about, Manning and Fido and obviously Casey Mize, maybe they're going to be terrific pitchers next year.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, selling tickets this offseason is going to be tough.
You know who they're going to be?
Selling season tickets,
but
yeah.
You know,
what are they going to sell?
You know, I'm going to tell you. Mize, and Mize.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to sell because they're predicting him and they're promoting him like the next god in baseball. They really are. And you know what? Let's hope that he is.
Manning's ranked ahead of him. I think he's the Tigers' number one pitching prospect, isn't he?
Mize
they got two or three
one.
Other kids who are
Mize
look
is,
real good.
The
Mize
is the guy.
Well, I thought it's going to be the Joey Wentz era with Jake Rogers behind the plate. It's the Hall of Fame battery. Anyway, we'll hear from a little word about Hoot McInerney's Star Lincoln, where two groundbreaking SUVs are kind of shaking up the marketplace a little bit. Debuting just this month was the Aviator luxury midsize SUV. He's got that three-row, seven-passenger seating, must-see styling, and all kinds of stuff, including large-scale touchscreens. I can't go through all of it. It's got so much incredible technology. I got the Nautilus, that groundbreaking crossover with great safety and comfort features. Got that back in May, adaptive cruise control, all the other stuff that helps you drive and stay safe. Amid it all, the Revel audio system customizes listening with multiple settings. I just blast that thing all the time. And what's great is you can order your Lincoln online. If you want to go to the dealership, that's great. It's remodeled. It's beautiful. It's plush. But you can also buy it online. Just go to Lincoln at starlincoln.com. Order what you want in a car, then roll into Star and pick it up. It's the Hoot McInerney legend, actually, legendary dealership, the luxury cars. Hoot was a Detroit auto magnate, owned 25 dealerships coast to coast, and Star Lincoln is the jewel of all. The Star treatment has never been better. Hoot McInerney Star Lincoln at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield. Go check it out. And lastly today, of course, we can't forget about Luke Nowacki. Luke of Pinnacle Wealth Management. I'm going to be in a little golf thing with him coming up next week.
How about
me?
Can I go?
You can go. You can't play, but you can go.
Why can't I play?
Because you can't.
Because you're in a wheelchair now. That's why you can't play.
I think walking is somewhat of a prerequisite for hitting a golf ball, but maybe you can do one of those guys who sits in the cart and it's from the cart.
I could putt.
Yeah. I actually told Luke, he asked me about this. I said, you know, I don't play golf, and Denny was a great golfer, but he can't play anymore. But Eli's pretty good. He'll come with you. He said, oh, great. You're coming now?
I'm coming.
Oh, you come along. Oh, yeah,
because I'm going to be back in New York.
What day of week is it, a Monday?
Third New York mention. Anyway, most
what
people spend...
I'm counting now. I'll count your local yokel Detroit mentions then.
Day of the week?
I think it's a Friday. I think it's August 9th.
Good, I'll be there.
Okay. Most people spend too little time on their investment portfolio. They really don't know what they have and how it's going to suit them 10, 20, 30 years down the road. That's why you need to get wealth management from Pinnacle Wealth Management and Luke Nowacki, 248-663-4748. Create a plan to answer your financial questions, help you reach your financial goals. The consultation is complimentary. For some of you, retirement fast approaching. It's hard to do it alone. Life happens. You got to be prepared for future obligations. He's a great Red Shovel sponsor. We stand behind him. He stands behind us and all of you, and that's why we believe in Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth Management. Again, 663-4748, 248 area code. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, a member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and our marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Okay, now, I know you got to say something, but
I have to say.
But first of all, I'm going to say, Brandon, when the show's over, have Eli do a read of that, okay, save it, and then do an Alvin and the Chipmunks thing and just speed it up three times, and we'll just play it from now on.
You are listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay, can we move on to football a little bit?
If you want, sure.
All right. I'd like to start with the Hall of Fame. Actually, today is Thursday. I never mentioned the date.
I couldn't believe that. I saw in the Detroit News as we taped the show on Thursday. The Hall of Fame game is tonight. It's football season
August already. 1st football season is here, coming fast and furious. Of course, you hear more about the pros because training camps are open. You don't hear about the colleges, even though college begins sooner. College first regular season games are August 25th.
Sure.
Michigan and Michigan State play the following weekend. But since
what do you mean? Michigan State playing football the following weekend?
Well,
they're playing much later in the season, as always.
No, not against each other.
I meant the regular season begins.
The first game is the 25th, and then the season starts.
Mighty Middle Tennessee State invades Ann Arbor, folks. Be there or be square.
So the Hall of Fame induction, you'll be seeing some of the players, Pat Bowlen, Denver Broncos owner. You got Champ Bailey, Tony Gonzalez. Also being inducted is Gil Brandt. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Gil Brandt.
Everybody of a certain age.
From 60 to 68, and he was in his 20s, and he's 86 now, still working. He's still working. And NFL.com, he's a scouting guru. He was the one who, in the early 60s, started scouting and drafting the players from the little black colleges down there. He got guys like Too Tall Jones from Tennessee State. He got Rayfield Wright, a right tackle from Fort Valley State. And then, because black players couldn't play at Alabama and Arkansas, they were at these small colleges, and scouting was very much in its infancy. Even until the 70s, they had stuff like Blesto, which was, you know, the Lions and a few other teams.
They still have Blesto, yeah.
Okay, but Gil was the one who put all the teams together, created the combine and all that in 1982. So we were going to have him on when I did the locker room with Kirk Gibson and Gary Danielson. The combine was coming around. I said, let's get Gil Brandt on. And Gibby says, yes, we have a special history. I said, what is it? He says, you'll find out. So we call Gil Brandt, and we're doing it, and Gibby's kind of chuckling in the corner. He knows it's coming up. And Gil Brandt, out of the blue, says, by the way, when we worked out Kirk Gibson in 1979, 3 years before we started the combine, he had the fastest 40 time of anybody ever recorded in football. It was a 4.28.
You know, and Eli, there was so – I mean, I covered him his whole football career. I won't want to offend Denny by saying greatest again. So let's say that Gibby is one of the best college wideouts I saw in my life. You can even forget that speed. He was fearless in traffic over the middle. It didn't matter because any defensive back who tried to hit him was going to absorb the most of the punishment.
I did a story on him and Eddie Smith, who was the quarterback.
Great quarterback.
And I showed when they upset Michigan 24-15 in 1978.
I was there.
And I'm showing Gary Danielson, our co-host, the film I had. And there was one play where Gibby does an end around, and two Michigan linebackers are ready to get him. He just outraced them to the corner like they were. They took the wrong. And Gary goes, "Oh my goodness." So anyway, so Gil Brandt says during the interview, he goes, "By the way, Kirk Gibson had the fastest 40 time of 4.28. So of course, me being the agitating jerk that I am, I go, "Wait,
I don't agree. I love you.
"Wait a minute, Gil. You're telling me that in all the years since, not one black guy has run faster?" There's an uncomfortable pause, and Gil Brandt goes, "Like I said, Kirk Gibson was the fastest."
I happened to be watching a Michigan State-Minnesota game in Gibby's era. I was watching it on TV, actually. And Eddie Smith threw an out down towards the goal line, and a little black defensive back, a cornerback from Minnesota, stepped right in front of it. Gibby's obviously, his body's going the opposite way. This little cornerback's got nothing but daylight ahead of him, 80 yards for a touchdown. Running down the sidelines, going to pay dirt all of a sudden.
Gibby from an angle running further.
From behind. You see this big hand from behind, but this amazingly fast little cornerback. He grabs him a collar tackle and throws him out of bounds. The guy was amazing.
And not only that,
he would have been a superstar in the NFL.
And he was not light on his feet. He ran heavy. He pounded.
Oh yeah,
he pounded the ground. You could hear him run. Anyway, are you bored enough, Denny?
We're not talking about baseball. Denny just nodded. Wait till we get to hockey later on.
Anyway,
I was enjoying the story.
But by the way, the fastest since then is only a 4.24.
It's like I'd never heard that story before. Yeah. What is that? The 52nd time?
Not on this show.
This show and other shows.
Anyway, so Gil Brandt going in, well-deserved at 86 and still working.
Boy, oh boy, it took you a long time to get to that bottom line.
What else you got?
I'll tell you what I got. I think it's the biggest story in football all week.
What is it?
And that is perhaps the greatest.
I have the biggest
of the
story,
killer
but
bees,
go ahead.
The greatest of the killer bees.
Oh, yeah, what's his
died
name?
The other day. Yeah. What's his name? That would be Nick Bonacani.
Oh, yeah.
Passed away at 78. And, you know, following his retirement, Nick did such a great job working with his son, Mark, who was paralyzed playing football for the Citadel. Yep. They raised millions of dollars. But he stopped that in the last couple years, as Sports Illustrated noted in a huge feature, because of the same thing, CTE, the degenerative brain disease. That's why Nick Bonacani died this week, because he was gone.
Did you see the 30 for 30 recently on Nick Bonacani? I believe it was a 30 for 30. It was a one-hour documentary done about a year ago.
I didn't see that.
It is so sad, but yet he is an incredible man. Got a law degree, just a brilliant man and an incredible football player, and a humanitarian and all that. And there were a couple of times during where he would start a thought and said, "I'm sorry," because he completely forgot it. Then he would get it back later. But,
And now, one of my favorite Michigan football players of all time. I love the guy. Tremendous guy. A real student athlete. And you knew him well, Eli. Robbie Lytle.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Lytle's name came up in a Twitter conversation. And I thought, I haven't looked Rob up on Wikipedia. So I did. He passed away so tragically at age 56 of a sudden heart attack.
Yeah.
The deal is they did an autopsy on Rob's body, and they discovered he was already showing signs of CTE age 56.
Well, you're going to play that game.
What are they going to do about it?
Dave Duerson shot himself at age 50.
Hell yes, Junior Seau, the list. What are they going to do about it in the NFL?
Well, then ban the sport.
They're not doing anything about it.
They're not doing anything.
Well, they're trying to change up with helmets.
Well,
Helmets and other equipment they're trying to put on.
I think helmet technology is pretty well developed. I don't see how it's going to get much better.
You know what gets me? They got guys in the military that can take a bullet in one of those helmets and survive, and these kids are getting knocked down. And listen, I'm not trying to compare the two, but I'm just saying if these helmets are so good, the football players should be wearing them
but
too.
You're right, Denny, but I think it's the repeated hits.
Yeah,
it's
that's
the repeated
right.
stuff. So you get 1,000 small concussions are worse than one big one.
Well, let's go to a little entertainment for a second, okay?
Okay.
Jerry Jones and my buddy Z. Z. Elliott in
Zeke,
Dallas.
Zeke, yeah.
First of all, he's in Mexico on vacation now. He's decided to leave the country.
Where would you rather be, in the hot NFL training camp or in Mexico on vacation?
No matter where I am, I'm still in an air-conditioned environment. So Jerry Jones went on the record finally yesterday indicating that this team does not need the reigning rushing champion to win on the field, with or without him.
Ooh,
that's a little strong. Stephen Jones, who's his son, says the Dallas Cowboys plan to keep ZLE, Dak Prescott, and Amari Cooper together, but not by handing them record-setting contract. We got three really good football players that we're dealing with here, and they have been very good, and they will not be going anywhere.
Those are bank breakers, yes, the three of them together.
I saw a stat the other day that said something like, of the last 17 Super Bowl champions, only two or three at the most had NFL rushing champions, too.
Yep, yep.
This is what Belichick does. You find quality running backs off the waiver wire, undrafted guys, and sometimes you can develop them. Now, they're not Ezekiel Elliott, let's be honest about that.
Right.
But Jerry might be on to something here. I think he should pay him, though.
I do, too. I don't think he should get what he wants, but because he's still under the original contract, he's still got a couple of years to go. But the guy is one hell of a player.
Yep.
And if you want to lose him, but you can't lose him. You really can't lose him. You can sit him out. But, with his past, he's got problems from his past. I'd still be kissing Jerry's one cheek or the other and thanking Jerry for a job. I really would be.
I would be, too.
My question for you of football.
Because, excuse me, we're still talking $25, $30 million.
Duh.
Yeah, I support Elliott.
Eli's money.
Because the rules are the rules, and he's under contract for two more years. We said it the other day. He'll make a total of $24 million his first 5 years, and he's not going to be the same guy in 2 years that he is now. They got a very short lifespan, and it's part of the fundamental problem with young players come cheap, and when it's time to get paid, they're done.
Right. So we have before us today the case of Michael Thomas. Everybody, the New Orleans Saints wideout.
Yes. Right.
He just signed the biggest contract for a wide receiver in the history of the NFL. 5 years, $100 million. Well, what jumps out at you is of that $100 million, $61 million is totally guaranteed in a new contract.
Yep.
Wow. And so you see why Ezekiel Elliott's a little pissed off.
Well, yeah.
Now, isn't the largest contract before that? Wasn't that R. Johnson? Didn't he have 100?
This is for wide receivers we're talking about. And what receiver you're talking about?
He had a 7-year deal for $113 million, but walked away from how much?
Who?
Are you talking about Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, Calvin Johnson.
He walked away. He walked away
from
last year. Yeah. Well, they get beat up. Plain and simple. To talk about college football for a second here. I was thinking about it because, I'm looking at Michigan and I'm looking at all the Big Ten predictions and everything, and Michigan's predicted to win the Big Ten, and they got Josh Gattis, the great new offensive coordinator. And the question I'm thinking is there any executive or coach in this market, you can go from Steve Yzerman to Gardy to whoever, who is under the amount of pressure to prove than the genius Jim Harbaugh? And so after 4 years of largely disappointing people, losing four times to Ohio State, came in with an incredible reputation.
You want to mention his record against Michigan State, which is now at least 2-2.
2-2, yeah.
But 3-8, Michigan has been against Michigan State the last 11 games.
And they lose to Notre Dame and all that. And so this is the year. He's got the great offensive coordinator. He's got incredible receiving core. He's got great running backs. He's got everybody returning, a lot of people returning on defense. This has to be the year. Is there anybody else under the type of scrutiny needing to have a great season, beat Ohio State, make it to a major bowl? And he's being predicted for the Michigan's predicted to be in the top four to make the college football player for the first time. I can't think of anybody under the same pressure.
Yeah, the guy at the Lions, the FLs as he calls them, he's got
Patricia?
A problem. Yeah,
but Patricia's never proved it. You see, Patricia's never.
She's
never,
such a wonderful lady. I know Patricia very well.
Mrs. Ford, please, Mrs. Ford. By the way, you didn't read the website submission that I disagree with that says, by the way, we already did these, right? It says someone has to tell Bob Page that his impersonations are horrible.
The funny thing about it is I saw that, and the last show we did, the guy writes in, you remember this, and says I should quit my day job, as though I have one, and move to Vegas because my impersonations are so great. The only problem I got, and I think this is the same guy, you want to criticize me, believe me, I'm a big boy and I can take it. The same with Eli and the same with Denny. We've been criticized by so many people before, but show some bleeping guts and sign your name to it, or leave your name at least.
I think your only questionable impression is the gay guy, but that's because I'm so politically
correct.
Which gay
guy? Anyway,
may I
that gay guy, that's him.
For some reason, the last show that we did, you had some problems, some unbelievable reaction to when I said the Hill out at the Lions facilities.
Can you hold on? I want to talk about the Hill in a second.
Yeah, but we got to hurry because I got to go wee again.
And this, Jesus, thank you for that.
The prostate issues.
This is the time.
It's not prostate. I just drank too much.
Aging at all of our ages. It is prostate.
We have to say goodbye to our radio listeners, and we'll continue on, of course, of the podcast. So for you radio people, you have been listening to the No Filter Sports Podcast. Okay, would you like to go? Would you like to take a break now?
No, I'm fine.
You going to make it for the rest of the show?
Well, if I don't, I don't.
All right. Anyway, so in terms of who's under the most pressure, I kind of thought Eisenman might be on the
right
list
now.
As an
I am.
Executive.
Oh, God, no.
You know that,
first
right?
Year. Pressure.
Right now, I am.
You're the pressure.
We can always stop taping the show, and you go upstairs and do your thing.
Just a little more on Harbaugh. He comes in as a genius. And also all the quirky things, you know, like practicing without his shirt on and the Walmart pants and all, you know, geniuses, we allow them a little quirkiness. You know, they're allowed to have eccentricities because their brains are at a higher level than ours. But then when you don't win and you're quirky, it just makes you kind of a goofball.
It just makes you quirky.
Yeah, it makes you.
You know, listen, whoever defined him as a genius.
What he did with it,
I was going to mention that, not I.
Oh, I think he came along after the 49ers and coming out of college and what he did for Stanford and won there. Of course, then you can look back and say, well, he had Andrew Luck. And he came to the 49ers, had some great players. But no, he came in with a reputation as the best.
National championships. He didn't win the one Super Bowl he coached.
Tell me when he came here, was he not looked at as one of the top two or three coaches in all of football at any level?
Right.
Okay?
No.
What?
Top two or three coaches at any level of football?
I believe he was.
You're talking about Nick Saban here? You're talking about Belichick here? And you're putting Jimmy Harbaugh with those guys?
Well, he might have been a little Johnny come lately without their
Wait a second. It bothers me when we start comparing coaches in college who have to just coach.
Eli said,
but wait a second, coaching children. They're coaching children and get a lot more out of the children than they do men. It's a whole different world coaching men.
Well, yeah, and Nick Saban failed coaching men in football, in pro football.
That's true.
So, you know, works both ways.
Hey, so you're talking Michigan State. There was a really interesting article in the papers this past week. I know you saw it.
What?
Tickets for Michigan State games through secondary ticket markets now can be found online for as low as $6 to $10 a seat.
What?
And Michigan State officials are blaming what they call an unexciting home schedule. I don't think the offense is really very good this year either.
$6 to $10?
Yes, online right now. They're not going to be great seats, obviously, but Michigan State is not going to be selling out.
Wait a minute.
Their fans are not as loyal as
there isn't
Michigan
a bad
fans.
Seat in the ballpark there.
Wait a minute,
it's a beautiful
though.
Ballpark.
Wait a minute.
Michigan State. I'm sorry.
Spartan Stadium.
Spartan Stadium's beautiful.
This is almost as good.
$6 is amazing.
Hey, listen, that's almost as good as the Tigers. Make an offer.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
I mean, it's really interesting to see what's going on. And, of course,
how could there be a secondary market before the season starts?
Those tickets are already on sale.
Well, then who's going to buy them initially and then sell them for $6? You're going to pay $50 and sell them for $6?
Or eat it.
You know what that opens up?
Then why'd they buy them in the first place?
Wait a minute.
Season ticket holders.
Wait a minute. It opens up another industry, scalping.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did you see, I know Denny, you're not on there much. Did you see that ridiculous, ridiculous brouhaha I got into on Twitter this week?
No.
It was the stupidest thing in the world. You know, Dr. Sapp is what he calls himself, the Michigan Video Repository. He put up a great video online, as he always does on Twitter. And Bo is just recovering from his heart attack, and he looks great. He wants to make sure that everybody knows he's fine, so he's going to go running with the host of his own television show, which would be my ex-colleague, Larry Adderley, who is a Michigan State graduate. And all that stuff, it's so incestuous. I say this all the time.
I get it. Did you just see? I don't get it.
So I mentioned this. Some idiot. I was talking about these idiots on either side. We've discussed this, who hate the other team. And some woman tweets a picture of this guy. He's driving in his car behind him on the expressway, behind a Michigan State van with Michigan State stuff all over it. He takes one hand off the steering wheel, he's taping himself, and flips the bird with his other hand to the Michigan State bus from behind. And I said, this is what I'm talking about, this mindless stuff. And boy, the feces hit the proverbial fan. These guys are something else. These Walmart Wolverines, and let's face it, Spurious Spartans. I'm calling that that new nickname right now.
But, you know,
they didn't go to Michigan State, but they want to see Michigan State win, and they hate Michigan.
You know, there's a lot more Walmart Wolverines than actual Wolverines.
No question.
Those are the fans.
You're right.
Don't take it so seriously, for Christ's sake. And you know what? The fans offer a lot of entertainment.
And
you just got to keep your eyes open.
You know who joined in this Twitter war I was into? Bruce Motti, one of the best sports publicists at the longtime University of Michigan sports publicist,
really
one of the best guys working out there. And Bruce tweeted back to say, I quote, "This vitriol is amazing, disgusting, and sad," end quote.
Boy, oh boy.
I got a few more things.
Go ahead. I got one thing. Well, you know, let me do my thing real quick.
Do your thing, Denny.
You wear the 7'1" pitcher in Amsterdam?
No.
Okay. Amsterdam? They play baseball in Amsterdam?
That's the Duncan Dutchman's kid brother, Rick Smith.
Is it Amsterdam, North Carolina?
Be careful now. Let's be nice here. 34 years old. He just died. And listen to this now. 34 years old. 7'1". Okay. He pitched in 338 games around the world.
In what league?
Around the world, in Japan, and about 5 or 6 years in AAA baseball, as a matter of fact, in our country. He had a lifetime ERA of 3.12. He struck out 429 guys in 500 innings, played 4 years in AAA, and 1 year at the top of the Japan baseball. The poor guy goes on a hunt with his ball club, trips on a rock, and winds up with a concussion for months and months and months, and then finally died the other day at the age of 34
years old. That's a terrible ending.
Terrible story.
But I'm telling you, the guy, if you read the story about the guy was gracious, he was kind, he was charitable, he was everything you'd want in a guy, and 7'1". Now, listen, my point to this story
What is the point?
It's a great point.
Have you
ever seen a 7'1" pitcher?
No.
Okay.
I've seen 6'11".
I'm telling you, if I'd have had that height, I'd have won 60. Because by the time you let the ball go, you're only 10
halfway
feet
there
from home plate.
And the thing about it is, even if you watch a regular Major League Baseball game, they're bringing in pitchers now who are 6'5 and 6'6. Right. Man, I'm intimidated in the batter's box just looking at this 6'7 guy staring me down. He's probably throwing 98. That's crazy.
And if the guy can get the maximum out of his turn and out of going towards home plate with a good shoulder turn, I'm telling you, the guy would only be about 25 feet.
You want to go to the mailbag? But are you?
No. Yes. Mailbag.
Eli wants to read some. This is my part
mailbag.
Of the
mailbag. We already did the mailbag.
No, we did.
We did two notes from the mailbag, pal.
Oh, you got more? Okay, I thought you already did. Go ahead.
He's got 700 stories there.
Go ahead.
I love these guys. All right, the mailbag, boys. I love these stories right here. This is from a guy who only leaves his handle Radio L. Again, he's one of these guys. He's just not really that big a podcast guy, or he's not necessarily a huge sports fan. He says, "Hey, guys, I love the podcast. Denny, your viewpoints are spot on when talk about pitching and baseball in general. Bob, I appreciate your takes, but it sounds like you spend a freakish amount of time watching sports. Maybe catch a movie sometime or something like that. No need to rip the other guys for not watching every second of every game as you do." I don't do that. He says, "Your pronunciation of Hispanic names is sensational." Por eso yo hablo español, señor. I speak Spanish. Why wouldn't it be? Eli, your live reads for your sponsors, exceptional. And personally, I would recommend LASIK from Dr. Yeldo to anyone. Martha Ford, thanks for periodically joining the show. But do us a favor and sell the team. Good luck, guys.
I've told you about my daughter who really doesn't like sports. She, except for the hot dog eating contest. In fact, for Take Your Daughter to Work Day, she was 13, I think, or 14, and I was doing sports talk at actually DFN, that this show was on sometimes. And I go down to Joe Louis Arena with her because I'm going to interview some players to get some sound. So we get there. It's the morning. It's just the players coming off the ice, and Sergei Fedorov is at the end of the hallway. And I go, Courtney, would you like to meet Sergei Fedorov? She looks at me and says, why would I want to meet him? So go tell your 14-year-old classmates that you got to be.
But I love that, Eli. And so we have now before us today Iris Wags.
But I was going to tell you, wait a second. But the reason I'm saying it is because her only sport she likes is the hot dog eating contest. And I want to say this for her, that Joey Chestnut was visiting a Hooters at the Mall of Georgia on Monday, engaged in a competitive eating contest in 12 hours of a wing eating marathon, taking advantage of the $15.99 all-you-can-eat wing deal, devoured 413 wings.
Oh, my God.
Set a record just walking through the mall. So that's
I just
her.
Don't know what to say.
And I guess I have to go to the bathroom.
So the BC, you can do this while I read the, except a lot of them are directed towards you, so you might not.
It takes
them
10 minutes
things.
To go up the stairs.
Well, there's one the one thing, I have one more story for you.
Well, I got the mailbag. Nice. Am I doing this or not?
Can I sing my song? I am happy.
Go ahead.
I already mentioned Iris Wags, and I did so because, as Eli just most women, it looks as just the truth, folks, don't like sports. So when we have women listeners, we love that. We're very
feature
flat.
Them. Feature them on it.
So she writes in, and she says to me, Bob, thank you for calling out climate change on Monday. You guys rock, and I love the show. Iris, we've talked about this quite a bit. We don't do politics or religion here. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, what you're into, but if you don't think our climate on this planet is changing for the worse, then as the song goes, you got another thing coming.
You got another thing coming.
There goes politics. Denny, go ahead. What, you got a final story? Go ahead.
Yeah.
I got more mailbag. What do you mean a final story?
Go ahead. Couple more.
You guys don't like the mailbag. Well, the listeners seem
I'm worried that he's going to pee in his pants, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Pastor Chico, I got to go.
For the first time, we're going to air our dirty linen in public on this program. Brandon, shut the show down. Let Denny take a piss, and then we'll pick up.
It's okay.
He's going to go ahead. Go ahead. Back to the mailbag.
We're not going to do that.
No. Mailbag jingle badly.
So this is for Denny. I wish, again, those of you folks who have difficult names, please tell me how to pronounce them. It looks like Pavel, a Polish name, W-N-E-K. Denny,
it's Paul.
Especially.
Paul Winnick.
Paul is P-A-U-L, not P-A-W-E-L.
Whatever.
It's Paul, though.
At any rate.
Good.
So, after witnessing a 16-year-old win a Fortnite tournament for 2 weeks and earning $3 million in the esports world, do you consider esports a sport, Denny?
No.
Absolutely. What is it? I don't even know. What is esports?
I consider it a sport like I consider Jeopardy a sport.
What is esports? Yeah.
Like,
it's a video game.
Like I would consider speed typing a sport because it's a lot of speed involved. I mean, my kids used to beat me at Mario Kart, so it does take some skill.
Yeah,
but calling
I did
it,
too.
You know what? Wojo, the writer for the news, did say have a great line about 20 years ago. If you can't pull a groin muscle, it's not a sport.
That's a good line. Really, hey, Brandon, since you're of the younger generations, what is an e-sport?
An e-sport is a video game.
Yes.
So if it's playing Madden
PlayStation
4.
I might have played Pac-Man to try it
Let him finish.
If it's Dota on the computer, I think in this particular one you're referring to, it was Fortnite, the video game. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm sorry. I thought he meant 2 week period. Okay, that's a name of a game, Fortnite.
Fortnite, yes. Fortnite is a video game.
Show us how out of it I am.
Mostly you kill guys, right? Like Grand Theft Auto, you're killing a bunch of people.
In this particular game, you just sit there and you got a gun and you got to fight.
Okay, so you're killing
50
people.
The last man surviving wins, and I guess you get to build things.
I'm going to rush out today, Brandon.
It's great inspiration to have dinner.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
and so. also, it's great.
Are you done?
Not done.
It's great for inspiring school shootings too.
Yeah, that's a serious comment you're making. Mm-hmm. So, on the other hand, shall I say this? The noted ethologist Conrad Lorenz wrote a book, a college textbook of mine, about every society known to humankind has always had a method for the sublimation of natural human aggressive tendencies. Mm-hmm. And this is why we like to watch football and guys hitting each other, and people like to watch
MMA.
Boxers, MMA, and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go out and pick up a gun. It could be it might take those tendencies away.
Just like pornography doesn't make you a rapist.
Right.
That's quite true. Right. And smoking marijuana does not make you a hardcore drug addict either. And ask my buddy sitting right here to the left of me about that. So here's Kenneth Reed. Boys, today's show was fantastic. This was my first time catching the podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed the stories and the insight from you gentlemen. Denny is the greatest storyteller, and he is solutions-oriented when it comes to improving the game of baseball. Keep up the good work, and I will make it a point to be a regular listener.
Isn't that nice? Kenneth. Thank you, Kenneth.
And please forward the website to our show or however people listen to it. That would be really good. Guys, I love the show. Tell Bob to stop cutting Denny off when he's talking about baseball. And I love the old Eli and Denny show on TV. Big fan of No Filter. P.S. Any chance Denny can send me a baseball?
Oh, he's sucking up to get a free autograph.
Robert from Windsor and Shore. You're damn right, and I got that written here.
Hey, Bob, ask him how many balls he needs.
I'll do that. I'm not cutting Denny off any more than he cuts Eli and me off. This guy, as Eli just said, wants something from Denny, so he's shamelessly sucking up to him.
Right.
And by the way, a private note from another listener, a regular listener today to me, complains that Eli is always cutting me off. He's not. I don't think he
Eli,
is.
Eli, let me ask you a question.
We all try not to do that.
You're cutting Bob off. Can I cut you off?
Let me ask you a question. Do you understand and do you see what's happening here? You and I are on a conversation. We're involved in something. And when he goes to the mailbag, every one of these, every other at least,
he throws us
about
a bone.
Him.
He throws us a bone every now and then,
right?
Just to keep.
But
right.
The only good news is he hasn't mentioned, you know, the city
for the fourth time,
which Eli is from, actually.
Can I finish yes. the show with a question?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm not going to cut you off,
and there's not going to be a response for this.
I can't say anything.
No,
go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to ask, where are all the fans? The fans have not gone out to the practice field.
For the Lions.
And the seats.
I wonder why.
For the Lions. The seats are free. They got busing for you to take you in there to watch the practice. And nobody is showing up. No. Nobody's showing up.
And you know what? Luke Nowacki, our sponsor,
I said there was no response. Yeah.
I have to respond this way. He sent me a note this week saying, Bob, have you seen what they're doing with Lions season ticket holders? I said, how would I know?
What are they doing?
Luke is one, apparently. Uh-huh. And he says that the Lions saying, if you come out to the practices, you buy two tickets, they'll sell you one at like $8 or $9 or something ridiculous like that. That's what's going on out there.
I was going to ask a question. Is this what's happening to the Lions? Finally, people are saying, listen, we're not going to support them unless they do something good.
Two thoughts on that. Number one, watching paint dry or watching somebody do a crossword puzzle is more exciting than an NFL practice where very little goes on.
Not at this point here.
They don't hit each other. You got a bunch of backup quarterbacks throwing passes. Nobody's covering anybody. You got guys fielding punts hour after hour after hour. But if you're a great team and there's excitement, isn't it? You know, the Cowboys or the Patriots, I'm sure people are lined up for training camp. But in truth, if there isn't excitement about the team, there's really not a lot there to see.
But you know what? Why do people go to a card show? There's nothing going on at a card show except the guy's going to sign his name.
Well, they get to meet guys and they get to go.
Well, same thing at a football practice. They can meet some guys. They can't meet everybody.
Eli, when was the last time you actually covered an NFL training camp? They're interviewing people. How many years?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Maybe
long time.
Yeah, late 90s.
So about 5 or 6 years ago, I was doing some freelance writing, fun columns and stuff like that, for a New York Jets publication in New York. I went to Jets practice one day, and a guy says to me, he says, hey, Bob, you know, the Jets got a kid from your own hometown here. I said, well, we get kids from Detroit, you know, coming. Bob, your real hometown, he's from Grosse Pointe.
Oh.
I said, this kid's from Grosse Pointe. What's his name? I said, I think I went to high school with his dad. His name was Charlie Massant. I think he played at Western Michigan, long snapper trying to make it. I said, would you bring him over? I'd love to meet him. So they bring this kid over to talk to me. I introduced myself, told him who I was, and the whole time, a little New York Jets PR minion was taping our conversation and taking notes on pen and paper. I turned to her and I said, honey, we're not doing an interview. This is a guy from my hometown. We're just talking. I know, but I'm under strict orders. This is what's going on with, as Eli Zaret calls it, one of the greatest phrases ever concocted, PR prevention in sports these days.
I am so sorry I asked for no response.
And we'd like to thank you all for listening.
Are we done already?
We're done. Yeah. We're way over our allotted
20 minutes.
We'll see. Will we be recording again? Got some good interviews next week. John Sally next week.
And possibly Wayne Font.
So Hope to see you again next week and have a great weekend.
Great weekend, everybody.